Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
I am told that the sea is a massive thing, that one could die just wondering its vastness. While we have no such thing in my homeland of Barovia, I am well aware of the feelings of isolation that a place without walls can conjure. For we are the prisoners of one Strahd von Zarovich. I will slay this vampire so that my people may once more breathe free in the sunshine.
Where's the abattoir from here?
You can see there's a line out the front of the building. The doors, the heavy oaken doors, are slightly ajar. Ajar enough that a person can comfortably walk through. The people in the line look to be a mix of local people from Kuchery and also adventurers, just anyone desperate enough for a job.
Right, the jester is doing her own thing. The drunk is a drunk. And then we have a sociopath who's in there.
You hear some commotion happening from the line.
I'm going to sidestep into and see to join the line of the abattoir.
You keep moving forward, forward, forward. You'd be in line for like, I'd say an hour, quite a while, until you get to the front of the queue. You get to the front or near enough to the front of the queue that one of the guards stops you, and they're stopping everyone at this point. And you, you don't have a spear, but do you have any other weapons on you?
Yeah, I would actually have like the mace and all that kind of thing, yeah.
The guard holds a box out to you. Mm-hmm. There would not be anything as big as a mace. Very few people, even adventurers, are walking around fully armed, not in Kuchery. But there are a handful of daggers and other weapons and whatnot. The guard gestures to the box and says, weapons.
Yep, I put the mace in. Do I need to also put like my shield as well, or just the mace?
They'll probably ask for your shield as well, actually, yeah.
Mace and shield in there. Sure.
You get to the front of the line and there's a guard at a little table and he's got a big stack of papers, or a lot of stacks of papers, some pen and inkwell sort of stuff. He has in front of him, it looks like a pre-generated sort of piece of paper. Actually, no, you would see this happening. There is a separate seat next to him that no one's sitting in, but a piece of paper will pick itself up off a stack, put itself down, and then an ink pen will automatically on its own write out a like a little contract thing. The guard looks at you and says, name?
Jacob Mason.
Jacob Mason. Shift will be for 8 hours.
Okay.
He picks up a stamp, bang, hits the stamp on the piece of paper, flips it around to you, and just seems to expect you to know what to do. You would have seen other people just signing.
Okay. I sign with an X.
Nice. All right, that's fine. He takes the piece of paper back and says, you will be paid 1 credit per hour worked. Acceptable?
Acceptable, yes.
Just in there for the bracelet, he says.
Okay. No.
You take another step in. They have these, they look like regular iron bracelets that would go around your neck with a little locking mechanism attached to them. But you see, every time they get clasped and sealed, there's a flare of blue light and you assume some magic to it. You notice only adventurers have to wear them.
It's like an anti-magic shield, I can only assume.
It's an easy assumption to make, but there's no guarantee. You don't know arcane. This is arcane magic, and you don't know arcane magic. The guard standing there just kind of expects you to know what to do, so you
go and grab one.
Sure, yep. And you closing it around your neck, you're not expecting this. It's like a magnet's in it or something like that. It slams itself shut after you just do it a little bit, and then you hear the little click, and it flares with magic. When that happens, Penny's light and love and sorrow disappears from you. You no longer feel her. In addition, you realize you know how there's that famous experiment or whatever where frogs were put in water and it slowly became boiling and they didn't notice? So you didn't realize that welling deep inside of you was a pit of despair and hatred that you realized was Eileen. That also disappears.
Kind of nice.
It kind of balances it out itself out a little bit, to be honest.
Why am I right? Okay. Is there everyone wheeling towards a certain area?
Yeah, the line keeps moving, and now the chug of machinery becomes a lot louder. Imagine a large cathedral space, except I would describe it as looking a little bit apocalyptic, like Mad Max-esque. You can see extra bits have been welded and drilled and hammered into place to accommodate this place as an abattoir. Mm-hmm. It's quite large, like imagine proper cathedral sized. And where the altar once was, there is still an altar, but it was once a giant statue of a dragon. The dragon's head has been neatly lopped off the top.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And there is instead a man there with a heavy black hood and a drum sitting on where the dragon's head would be. Boom, boom, boom. He hammers and everything in this production house happens to that rhythm.
Okay.
As you're being moved through, mm-hmm. you can see people are being assigned different jobs. There's a guard with like a checklist going around, dragging people off the line, putting people on the line. Mm-hmm. So the line starts, it meets where that conveyor belt takes the produce into this cathedral. Pigs, chickens, I keep wanting to say bears, cows. Bears are not one of
that
the
would
lives.
Be fucked up.
Yeah. Pigs, chickens, and cows are just mixed together. There doesn't seem to be any consideration.
Okay,
yeah, they don't seem to care.
All right.
They come into the conveyor belt. They get dragged along. The conveyor belt at this point has high railings where they can't escape. Mm-hmm. And there are a few people standing on little platforms keeping them stuffed into the conveyor belt. Mm-hmm. It looks like a very unpleasant job. People do not seem to be enjoying that part. None of it's really fucking pleasant. But anyway, they continue along the conveyor belt and get to the next section where there is dangling from high above. This all looks quite new, actually. The metal to this is quite shiny. Mm-hmm. It looks like it very recently installed. There are dangling from the roof little black, long, rectangular boxes and handles where people grab it, and then a button in between those handles. When pressed, a metal rod shoots out of the box and back in, and that is how the animals are killed.
Okay, it's a bolt gun. All right.
The animals definitely know that it's coming, and they definitely are panicked when it happens.
Okay.
It's horrific to watch. These people look like they're also having a really upset. Well, people here either look like they're having a very upsetting time, or they kind of just look dead to the world.
All right.
Then it progresses beyond that, and then the meat gets sorted. Well, sorry, when I say sorted, I actually mean the meat gets sorted into the different bits. So intestines go one way, livers go another way, but they still. All of it's still mixed, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And then the carcass goes another way. You can see above you there are boxes. There's metal gantries running over the top of all of this. And there are boxes where officers would kind of be, or that's what it might look like.
Yeah.
You can see there are guards walking around on the gantries, and you can see there are people, guards, for the guards and probably higher level, not just the entry people like you, working, doing other things in those sorts of offices. Mm-hmm. In one of them, the biggest one, you can see Ludmilla standing and surveying everything happening beneath her. As you're moved through the conveyor area, highs or lows?
Let's go with lows.
You can see there are periodically, when the meat is finally finished, it looks like it's completely done for. It's ready to be in a normal abattoir. It looks like it's ready to be packed and shipped. Instead, the conveyor belt angles downwards and goes into the ground. There are these giant metal doors. These also look quite new. The metal is very clean, and it looks like it was installed maybe only months ago, if that. These giant metal doors, shunk, shunk, chunk, chunk, open and close very rapidly. And every time they open, you see flames and flesh beyond. But it is so quick that you are never able to properly make out what is beyond.
Is it opening up enough to, like, the meat falls in and then does it get meat, squished?
Well, no, meat just tumbles through and then the thing closes again. It does get squished, but only because there's just so much...
Yeah,
so much stuff going through.
Okay.
Highs or lows for what job you're assigned?
Let's go with highs.
Highs, okie dokie.
So I'm saying if I was to jump into that pit, I would be squished.
There's a chance, not a guarantee.
Not a guarantee.
All right, you get something. Look, it's all soul-crushing manual labor, but you get a job that is not killing,
oh, that's nice,
screaming, struggling
that's
animals.
Good. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You get put on, I'd say, there's a where, like, livers and lungs get split up. You get put there, and you have to make sure that the livers go one way, the lungs go the other way.
Uh-huh.
You are worked to the fucking bone. It is not an easy job.
Okay. I was going to, like, how much of, are they just always observing? Is there any kind of way to kind of, like, duck out? Is there any kind of way to
The trick is you're not being constantly observed, but if you stop working for, like, a second, your shit starts backing up, and that is noticeable.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm not going to imitate the squeals of animals,
you
get the idea.
Right. The vibe. Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. I want to try and, I guess my goal here is to observe as much as I can, the layout, who is here, is it like it's Ludmilla in the office, is there any like... any sign of that engineer? I'm assuming the engineer is making a lot of all these like brand new shiny things.
Yeah.
Which I can kind of figure out. That's pretty easy. I am tempted to jump into the big hole. That seems fun, but also very bad.
That seems scary to confront what's down there alone, but Heck just kind of on one at the moment. So.
Good.
Yeah, I get, I'm just trying to like see if there's any way down as apart from just that big opening of the shunk, shunk, shunk.
To get down, you don't get to see all of the cathedral. There's a lot of nooks and crannies to this place that are just inaccessible to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that there is one, it's like there's a tower inside this cathedral. You can really only see the edges of it, but there's this big black obelisk type thing that it looks like either was built inside the cathedral or the cathedral was built around one or the other. Either way, they don't look like they properly match. The stone is slightly different. And also, all of the motifs in this cathedral are dragon but corrupted, except for the obelisk, which has no motifs on it whatsoever. Mm. You notice to get up is not going to be an easy process. So there are arcane sigils slammed around the place beneath what is obviously where stairs would come off the gantries. And guards will walk to those sigils, say a arcane word, which unfortunately you're never close enough to hear, and then a blue aura will lift them up onto the gantry, and then they do the same thing to get down.
Hmm.
So, unfortunately, getting up and down is not going to be an easy task.
Okay. That's up to the officers.
Yeah. You see as well some of those creatures that you fought at the Selenka Pass, just one or two of them, but they're also intermingled with the guards. You also see down here on the factory floor, supplementing the human staff are, or should I say the living staff, supplementing the living staff are also zombies. With chains, and you can see all of their jaws have been removed. They're just shuffling around, doing very basic manual labor.
Okay. So everything is just basically this is a whole giant workshop to get meat underground into a thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Someone's getting the meat. Yeah.
So Piran tried to get people into the...
He tried to get people up and below.
Up and below.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Or he could, but no one came back.
Okay.
Only absolute fanatics are... You see, every guard here is flayed. Mm. Only absolute fanatics are allowed to be guards here.
Is there any, I guess, through observation... I mean, I guess Piran will probably already work this out, that there really is no kind of, like, I guess, yeah...
No staircase. Down,
not even that. Just kind of, like, any kind of, like, fault in their armor, as it were, to kind of any kind of little thing that we can kind of niggle at and kind of infiltrate. How fast is the jaws slamming?
Quite fast. More blink and you'll miss it sort of stuff.
So I will get crushed.
I wouldn't say it's a guarantee, but I'd say there is a decent chance.
It's a shame you haven't retained your powers. Turning undead would be very funny here.
I guess, yeah, I will try and, while still working the shift, either try and gather any kind of intel information that I can, either layout, the guards, any kind of, if I can pick up the words that what they're using, if I can try and spy the gnome or the halfling, the tinkerer, that'd be great. But ultimately, it's just trying to see where do even they come and go from, because clearly they're not coming through the front door.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
Unfortunately, you're unable to make much about the layout or any of the guards' habits or anything like that. You're really, like I said, you're being worked really, really hard. So it's not easy to steal many looks at patrols or at hidden doors or access that they might not want the regular workers to see. However, at one point, you do spot, you hear a set of footfalls up on the gantry that are way too light to be any of the guards. And you look up to see a very fancifully dressed halfling.
Okay.
He has deep green pants and a matching deep green leather jacket and a shirt of red with white flourishes on it. He has these two deep blood red boots as well. And he's got this massive, so big that it's kind of sagging over his head, this massive beret with a set of red feathers in it. As he walks, you can see as well, one of his hands is gloved and the other one is not.
Okay.
He walks around and he's just inspecting, just looking around. At one point, one of the bolt gun things stops firing and you see he leans over to a guard, says something and points at the bolt gun, and then people are dispatched to fix it.
So there's the engineer.
Okay. Does production stop when the bolt gun stops?
No, it slows down a little bit, but there's quite a few.
Yeah, fair.
There's multiple people working the bolt guns.
Yeah, okay. And do I see them? I'm trying to see, how they get into or out of the abattoir, or if they even just remain in the abattoir.
I said, unfortunately, you can't see any other exits, but you also can't see a lot of this place. Mm-hmm. You would actually, at a certain point as well, this halfling has come out to inspect two things in particular, those two creatures. He walks over to one of them. He walks over to both of them and gives them a look up and down. But on one of them, he takes off his black glove. And you see underneath his hand is made out of gears and metal. Cool. And then it swings around and a wrench comes out of it. He tightens some lugs on the creature.
Cool.
And then in the other one, he gestures again. And instead, a little spout comes out and he puts oil in the other one.
Right. They're not just undead. They're a mechanical creature. Okay. So we're fighting undead, mechanical, some kind of golem. Okay.
That is, unfortunately, the only thing. That happens maybe 3 hours in. And then... The rest of your 8 hours goes by pretty uneventfully, but exhausting.
Oh, I can't imagine it being very exhausting.
As you leave, you are given back your items. The collar is taken off you, and you're given 8 wooden bits.
Cool. Is there still a line coming in, right?
Yeah.
Cool. I just grab the 8 wooden bits as I'm walking down, maybe... Not as a, because giving to the first person would be, I guess, wry suspicion from the guards.
Sure.
But whoever is just like to walk down somewhere near the back of the line, I'm just like 8 wooden coins and then I just keep walking.
The first person you try to give it to is too suspicious. You see, an act of kindness is and such an oddity in this place that they assume you've got some angle and they don't want to take the coins. The elf takes a couple steps back and looks at you in fear.
Oh, right. No, I was just trying to, I didn't even want to offer it to them. I'm just going to
reverse pickpocket them.
Yeah. Or not even reverse, just dump them and not even stop them. Bang, off I go.
Oh, okay. I see.
Well, yeah.
A similar thing happens. No one picks them up. They're too scared there's something going on.
That's not my problem.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's your night.
I was so sure you were to get back in the line. I was like, Zam is going crazy.
Do it till you're worked to death. Speaking of being worked to death, you have a level of exhaustion.
Yeah, of course.
Pip.
Yeah.
You're at Matilde's house till the next morning.
Yeah, I would become very worried when Hector didn't come back.
At a certain point, Piran leaves to go searching for Hector. Hector, you'd get back before Piran does.
I'll get into the... Where's somewhere where I can have a... just wash this. It's snowing, right?
No, not currently. It's... just bitterly cold. There's no snow. There's no rain. It's just, you know, that chill that comes with a stillness as well.
Yeah.
There's no wind blowing, no rain, no snow. It's just, it feels like the air itself is soon to become ice.
Now I guess I'll head to the cabin that we're staying.
Esmeralda, Matilde, obviously, and Pip are there. The door to the kids' room is locked.
Where'd you go?
To look into the abattoir.
Oh.
Fun the times, Esmeralda says.
Very.
What's going on in there?
You never truly forget the squeals of animals.
They're wholesale slaughtering so many animals and they're just dumping them into underground.
Okay. Could they be... You said perhaps there was a dragon under there.
That is my suspicion.
Are they feeding it?
That is my suspicion.
How much does a dragon eat?
Well, a lot.
Or is it just busy work? That's a great way to break a spirit.
Yes, but there's also so much waste going for... I mean, they're not even feeding their own guards. They're not even feeding themselves.
Have we seen any of the guards eating?
Probably not at the tavern.
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, there's only the one tavern in town. So, yeah, no, you would have seen guards eating.
Same thing, thin gruel.
Yeah, none of the flayed ones, they probably wouldn't eat there, but yeah. Regular town guards, they'd be able to afford something a little nicer than the thin gruel, though. Sometimes meat.
Can I think of anything, like, with my knowledge of monster hunting that would need so much food?
I would say that, you know, this is not anything in...
Emmanuel.
Not certainly Dark Places edition.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
With everything else that's happened, it's entirely possible that this, if there is some sort of entity, it is a unique...
Yeah, it's brand new. Yeah, fair.
So here are the things that I'm... I saw the engineer, the mechanic.
Oh, right.
He seems to be working for Ludmilla, his own... Yes, he seems to be working for Ludmilla. The creatures that we saw, the half-hag, half-werewolf, half-undead, are also mechanical.
Oh. In what way?
He tightened bolts and oiled them up.
Okay, yeah, curious.
I'm not sure if it's to do with either the construction of them, the body we saw at the hags.
Matilde serves you some tea, Hector.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Would you like breakfast, she says, staring at the floor.
No, I'm all right.
She nods. There is a knock at the door. Matilde wanders over to get it. If both of you stay
seated. Yeah, it's funny because it's like not our house. It's like we're at a friend of a friend's house.
Yeah, so we need to like hide.
Yeah.
Matilde, probably actually, first checks his little spy hole. She, on the way to the door, maybe opens that secret hatch that you stayed in and you would have, Pip, stayed in overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
She checks the peephole first and says, it's Iona.
Oh, let her in.
She opens the door, and Iona, visibly disheveled, steps in.
I'm just still covered in blood. Iona, nice to meet you again.
I thought I would find you here, she slurs.
Yes, take a seat.
She sits down, kind of plonks herself down. You can see her hair is stuck up, partially, where she's quite clearly fallen asleep on a table.
You need some coffee. Is there coffee here? Can I make us some coffee?
Yeah, there would be coffee.
Barovian coffee, whatever that is. Tastes like a boot.
Yeah.
Barovian coffee always tastes burnt.
Yep.
You start making the coffee, and then Matilde kind of snatches it away from you.
Okay. I sit back down. Rough night, Iona?
Yes, he says. In her seat, she's swaying a little bit.
You should have a sleep. You need a rest. You're fucked.
I can see I am not the only one, she says, looking at you, Hector. I actually should give her also a level of exhaustion.
Yes, after our very brief conversation, I went to look into the abattoir.
Did you find anything there that you liked?
Not a single thing.
It is truly a soul-crushing place.
Do you know what they're feeding?
Some of the meat goes to the people, but the majority they keep.
Underground.
I know not what they do with it there. All I can assume is they are having raucous parties every night. Some is sold. There is, of all the towns in Barovia, Kuchery actually experiences the most trade with the outside. But I would say that there is definitely not enough trade to accommodate the amount of meat that is.
It is. I start describing like the conveyor belt that I have no idea what it is, and the opening, the slamming, and it just going in and in and in. And
as you describe,
not much falling, like not much being like salvaged to package.
Yeah.
As you describe that, Iona gets up and wanders outside. You hear her retching.
Whatever they're feeding, it won't stop.
Do they just feed it the meat? Or does it get awful too?
Yeah. All they use every part of the animals.
We have to sort it into different categories of awful, right? I had to separate the livers from the lungs and then they just kept going. I do not know why.
I realize I'm only just mentioning this now. So this is something you would have noticed.
Uh-huh.
It gets sorted apart and then put back together at the end. When it gets put at the end part where it's going in through the jaws, you just now, maybe only just now because of the horror of it you're realizing, but you're like, it all goes back together.
Yeah, so it doesn't. We have to separate it from like the lungs, the liver, and then the offal on one side and the muscles, and then it goes past us and then it all just goes to the same hole.
Well, then I guess that's the spirit crushing, isn't it? They crush your spirit with that, but then there's some ulterior motive for the rest of the meat.
Sons of bitches.
They had me sorting guts for no fucking reason.
It's a wasting of time. That is the... Yes.
Did you see any way down there to see where the meat's going?
The only way down is through the mechanical door, and I didn't feel like losing my legs.
Oh, fair enough.
There are arcane symbols that they were using to go up a obelisk. It looked like it wasn't part of the cathedral originally.
Okay.
Iona comes back in and sits down.
Yeah. Here's your coffee, I say. Push it over to her.
Thank you. I needed this.
Yeah, that's all good.
She's forgetting her grudge against you. She just, with a teary eyes, she takes the coffee from you.
An assault on the abattoir seems insane.
Yeah.
There is... so many of the flayed guards that are just around everywhere. In amongst all the people that are working there, you have the undead.
Yeah, it'd be full... You're talking small-scale war, really, if we try to engage the Avatar head-on.
Ludmilla is there. I don't know if that is where she often stays, but their office is there.
Mm.
I have no idea how we are going to get to the halfling.
Esmeralda speaks. If we were to assault during the daytime... Ludmilla would be in her coffin. It would be the smartest time to attack. We could go today if we wanted.
Is she looking at me?
No, she's. This isn't really a shot at you. This is her impatience.
I think about how little hit points I have and how fucked up I am.
Oh, it's been another night.
Yeah.
5 days in.
5 days in. Oh, we're so close. 5 days
in, baby. To be honest, right now I am exhausted. Maybe we need a bit more intel.
I've been hit by so many billy clubs.
Perhaps.
It's great.
A few of us could go in to scout it out to get more information. I don't know.
Seems
Where's Piran? Piran might know a bit more about the actual layout of it. If there's any more entrances.
Oh, Iona stops. Piran is to be here?
Yeah, this is his. Well, it's not his.
Right, of course. Yeah. This is why I came here. She seems scattered.
Well, we have Iona
right,
now.
Yes. I don't know. Do we have you, Iona?
Yes. You have proven yourself to be a kind man.
Yeah.
That is all I care about.
And you have proven yourself to be manipulative.
What? What are you speaking?
I love to go and put my life on the line for a six of plums.
Oh, right. Sorry, you are not the first person to need assistance in Barovia. There are many people who want to do things for the wrong reasons. I wanted to check that you are a good man first. She stops. You see there's something deep going on. I love too easily, she says.
My eyes go wide at that. I don't like her saying that.
I assure you I gave Keening the same trial or a similar one. Obviously, there is not Vistani going missing on the roads every other day, but I would not follow you if I did not. I do not want to follow you unless I believe you to be a good man, but I need to know before I give my heart away.
Could have simply just asked instead of using parlor tricks.
I find this gives the best results, she says. This will be how many rebellions?
One.
One. She looks at Esmeralda. Esmeralda shrugs. One. She looks at you.
None.
This will be my 15th.
In Barovia?
In Barovia, yes. As only 5 of them were for a worthy cause. 10 I was tricked into myself.
Okay, well, cards on the table. I want to get the hell out of here. I am beginning to loathe this place. Everyone has their own agenda. Everyone is duplicitous. Everyone can't trust anybody. So, Eleniel is alive. She is heading off to Valakai because we've lost contact with all the people that were left in Valakai, including Keening, who is also alive. But I believe I've already told you that. By the way, Eleniel is also pregnant. So I'm sorry that you loved and lost her. I do not know your relationship with her. She knows that we've made contact with you. I need to go speak to her at dawn. I get up.
Are you looking forward to being the intermediary between that?
Yeah.
It's also so
great.
Funny to just leave me, Esme, and Iona at the same table after you've had to.
Oh, yeah, guess what? Because she's been meaning. This has been chewing in the back of her brain.
Yeah.
You, as soon as she found out that Eleniel is alive, you leave Hector, and then Iona turns to you, Pip, and says, "You are the reason my love's entire way of life is coming to an end."
I couldn't be more sorry.
She stands up.
Iona, please, I've changed. Meanwhile, making penance.
We're going to combat. I'm not even kidding,
man. Fuck, man.
And if you think Esmeralda's coming on your side?
Pip's about to fucking die.
Yeah, you wander out. It's pretty, well, actually, no, it's not dense with trees, but it's not too far a walk to get to a tree. You put your hand on the tree.
Have you spoken with her?
Hot dog.
Yes. Would you like me to go get her, but to be honest? Where are you right now? Are you near Valakai?
We're nearly at Valakai now, yes.
Have you seen anything?
There hasn't any time, though.
Would you like me to go get Iona?
No.
What would you like me to?
It should be in person.
Would you like me to tell her? I didn't realize the two of you knew each other.
Don't tell her we spoke of her at all.
She already knows that I'm talking to you right now. She's near like 10 meters away.
It's fine. No. It should be in person.
Okay. Right. Whatever. Just getting so frustrated.
Fuck this place and fuck these people.
So, anything else to report?
I see something has happened to Valak. Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Something has happened to Valak.
What has happened to Valak?
It's consumed by snow. I can see something has warped the very fabric of weather around it.
I'm knowing that this is perhaps a certain...
Oh, that's a Father Limic.
That's a Father Limic.
Yeah, so Father Limic. So, his type of apocalypse is the world is consumed by snow and ice so cold that nothing but Father Limic can survive.
Gotcha. All right, so I guess they awoke him.
The fact that it is localized on one location, that's strange.
This is new. I mean, the entire thing is new to you.
Okay.
This has actually never happened before. This is only, this is like people are like, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Here's the theory.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I guess they awoke him. So it's surrounded by snow?
Yes, there is a, it looks almost as a barrier. Hard to describe, really.
All right. I guess rush to your
I will speak with my people. They will know more.
And how far away are you from your people?
I will reach them today. I can send a message to you, but it might take some time to get to you.
Okay. Send a message you can, or we can communicate like this in 8 hours? 10 hours?
Sunset, she says. Yeah, no, Elainiel seems, you get emotionally very turbulent at the beginning of this,
mm-hmm.
became a calm, cooled, but still something very serious, kind of focused, actually, mm-hmm. I would describe it. She became, when she started talking about Valakai, she became very focused on the task at hand. You feel a distraction. What? Cribbit has a question.
Yes, Cribbit, what?
Do you have pen and paper?
Yes. I lie. I'm just going to try and remember this.
Cribbit has a series of questions he needs you to answer.
Right, shoot.
The first one is, he needs the seasonal feel of Kuchery for his book.
Despair, depression.
No, he doesn't want it now. He needs you to think on it.
No. I can give it to him now. It is all sad. Right. It is very sad. It is like a spirit is broken. The spirit is broken of this place.
The second one is he needs you to write down any romances going on.
I am pretty sure you could fill him in on that one.
Let's leave that one out. She says.
Anything else there?
Yes. Elainiel transcribes for you. There's a whole list mm-hmm. of things Cribbit wants.
You're so patient with him.
mm-hmm. Well, sure, yes.
Question after question after question to help him set the scene of his book. He seems very... you're getting it through Elainiel. He seems very stressed that he's not there to document something that is quite clearly important.
Yeah, it's like then you could describe there was like a deep, dark obelisk that would suck all the light
out
of the room.
You start talking about the abattoir. You're there for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then he doesn't have to go inside. It's so funny to think about how nice Cribbit must be compared to the rest of these motherfuckers.
Okay. She goes first.
Okay. Cool.
Punch in the face.
Oh, dude, I'm going to have the shit beat out of me. Esme's going to take the opportunity, too. Fair enough.
Iona... She had this entire time, she has in her hands, she'll often, or strapped to her back, she has a quarterstaff
mm-hmm.
that has at one end, it has a gnarled looking claw holding a glass globe. And at the other end, it has a foot standing on a glass, like
that's
balanced
cool.
on a glass globe. The glass globe hits you in the side of the head. Yeah, everything goes dark.
Okay.
All right. Okay. An hour later,
mm-hmm.
An hour later, you finish your communion. Mm-hmm. You, as Elainiel takes her hand off the tree, alabaster skin,
mm-hmm.
golden hair, and a powerful muscular body.
Hubba hubba. Heck, he's got a tree boyfriend. That's what I'm learning.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
You turn around and you see Mathilde is quite clearly torn between not wanting to go into her house and not wanting to disturb whatever you're doing.
Yes, Mathilde?
I think there is something you want to deal with inside the house.
Okay. Walk in?
You walk in, you see Esmeralda and Iona
mm-hmm.
sharing a pot of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Pip is unconscious on one of the chairs, his head at an awful-looking angle. He doesn't look dead, but it looks like it's going to give him a crick in the neck. He's heavily bleeding from his nose.
And gnomes.
My nose takes such a pound.
I rub my nose.
Gnomes.
You have 0 hit points, Pip.
Cool.
As you step in, Iona turns to you. She seems a little bit more herself. She doesn't seem more herself. She seems incredibly stressed, actually, mm-hmm. when you step in. She says, how was your conversation?
You're
touch my companion again, I will give you nothing.
I can do that, she says.
That's so good to hear.
Can anybody bandage him up?
He will be fine, she says.
Am I like zero, like kind of semi-conscious? No, not to talk, but to be stuff like, Pop, fuck off.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Pop's outside in the garden. Just stop him.
Iona puts a hand on your shoulder, Pip, and she whispers something into your ear. Your bad dreams immediately stop.
Oh, that's nice.
You feel a welling sensation of calm and peace.
What's that? Pop's going away forever? He's joined the army, you say. Fantastic news.
You're on 18 hit points.
I was having the most wonderful dream.
All right.
Back in the land of the living.
Damn.
Can we all just get along? Look to the table. Just...
I will never act against this party's interests, but I will never be a friend to that man.
That's fair enough. It is fine. That's acceptable to me.
She puts out a hand to shake.
Me?
Yeah.
I shake. Yeah. Right. We don't have to be friends to work together.
Right. Are we all okay? Okay. Good. Right.
Piran steps in, and he steps in. You see, when he first sees you, Hector, he's like, do a bit of a jovial introduction. He immediately reads the room and then stops.
And I just like staring basically now at Piran.
And Iona, is it fine for him?
Iona and Piran look at each other, and you, Pip, see Iona's hand curls or tightens on the staff, which was what happened right before she hit you with it.
Can I maybe, but... like a teacher of kindergarten level children, be like, okay, everybody, sit down. Now, cross-legged on the floor.
I sit.
People will sit down at the table, but...
Well, that's embarrassing.
They're probably not going to sit on the floor. Iona, as I said, her hand curled around the staff, and you can see that she's considering it, but she looks at you, Hector, and then she says, I can work with him. So long as you can keep him under control.
I will do my best to remember everybody with. We have a common enemy here. So why don't we work together against the common enemy as opposed to constantly fighting each other?
Iona puts up her hands like, I'm doing my thing. Piran does the same thing.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Esmeralda's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Okay. The next step is either... Somehow get the halfling out of the abattoir, or we just forget Kuchiri and head to the Amber Temple. We have two potential allies that are remaining in this town. We have John Cavendish, who is in Republican Guard? That was the word?
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
Right, yes.
Piran cringes at the word Republican.
Yes, Republic. I don't know.
He's from the future.
Yes, he's from Kandor, but thousands of years. Thousand years in the future?
Thousands. Multiple thousands, he said.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes. So there's that.
Kandor becomes a republic? Oh.
So, 100
years of Goldcrest's reign, and he couldn't ruin them. And then they ruined themselves in the end.
Yeah, perhaps.
Well,
majority rule, he says.
Imagine even mentioned that we need to put a fire in his heart to get him to even join this cause. I don't know anything about John Cavendish. Piran, can you find information about him?
Yes, I can certainly... I can look into him, yes. It might take a little while, though. He isn't a terribly sociable person. No,
but we... Things I know is he came here with a group of other adventurers. Is that correct, Iona?
Iona clarifies, saying he came here with several other adventurers. He came to Barovia with several other adventurers, but they are long since dead, my understanding.
That is all we know of. So that is a place to start, I guess.
Well, yeah. it's not square one.
Yeah, it's not.
It's,
yeah, it's
square
not
two, at least.
Exactly. So that's information of him. We also I described the halfling. So that is who is the engineer. I think I have a way of perhaps... trying to get him on our side, but we need to be able to sit down and
talk to him.
Talk to him.
Not an easy feat.
Does he live in the abattoir?
As far as I can tell, yes.
Damn.
He is a tinkerer of sorts. He seems to be an inventor. I'd start describing some of the stuff in the abattoir of, like, they were clearly invented or at least designed by him. He seems to have a lot of control there. If we were to... Getting out of Barovia is a challenge, perhaps one that we could try to make it an appeal to his problem-solving nature.
Oh, now that's an idea.
And those are my ideas for those two. Other than that, point to where the Abbot Temple would be.
Mm-hmm.
Abbot Temple.
I mean, we could lay the groundwork for Cavendish and the Tinkerer, head to the Abbot Temple, then by the time we're back here, maybe we'll have a better handle on what's going on. We speak to Cavendish again, see if we can find out more information from him. I mean, I don't know. The Tinkerer seems outside our wheelhouse right now, but...
Iona speaks up. I wish to say that I heard this group, Piran, certainly making bold claims of this place eventually becoming free of the yoke of the princess, the sheriff, and the burgomaster. I would see that done as soon as possible. Every day that these people sit under this yoke is a day too much. Esmeralda immediately counters, saying, I would say that we should go to the Amber Temple. That is where Van Richten is. Van Richten will have a wealth of expertise, not just on what to do in the town, but also disconnect our two friends, Goreb and Lushen, which might make them, who knows, quiet. Would that not be nice?
That would be nice.
Oh, I feel like God. I can hear them from here, she says.
This is, and also he could help with Iris.
And with Iris.
Right.
Esmeralda adds as like an after, acknowledging, not fighting you on it, but quite clearly. Like,
that wasn't of her concern.
Yeah, she was like, oh yeah, and that I guess.
So the way to get to the Amber Temple is if we take out the burgomaster, correct?
Yes. If we take out the burgomaster, I think that would be the perfect amount of punishment needs to be meted out, but also it was a favor to those who were still around, so we wouldn't be just outright executed.
Okay. And that would leave the townsfolk in overseen by Ludmilla and the sheriff. Now, what does that mean, Iona?
Without the burgomaster... the sheriff and Ludmilla, my understanding is that they are friendly with each other. Mm-hmm. So it would mean that they were able to consolidate their power. It would make things much more difficult in the long run. Mm. Piran interjects with, in the long run, if you're able to do the Amber Temple, say, in maybe a couple of days... By the time you come back, there'll still be a lot of chaos around, which we will still be able to capitalize on.
Does 2 days sound doable, I say to Esme?
Esmeralda shrugs. Yeah. No one here knows what the Amber Temple is like.
I don't know what it is in. I don't know. No one knows what's in there.
Yeah.
Could be weeks.
Oh, yeah. Could be just a cave.
Is
unlikely, but could just be a cave.
The sheriff. They're just human.
Who are you asking?
Just at the table.
Esmeralda's actually also met the sheriff.
Yeah.
So all three of them nod. The sheriff's just a man.
So if you take down, say we take down the burgomaster, or we take down the sheriff, then we're just left with Ludmilla, right?
Iona nods. That would be correct. It would become, the balance of power would become more even, which would make things a bit more chaotic.
We could take out the sheriff in private and the burgomaster in public. Burgomaster's taken out in public, we're sent to the Amber Temple, but we're not blamed for what happened to the sheriff and summarily executed.
Piran, you can see cogs have been turning for him. He says, there might be a way to do that. So, my little birds have told me, given me hints that there is a meeting to go on between the burgomaster and the sheriff. They are... currently negotiating something, not important, whatever. I'm given to understand that it's something that both of them dearly want, but it's finance or something related, whatever. Anyway, they're going to be in the same location at the same time. It will be double the guard, but it's only one location.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know what this location is. All I know is it's somewhere secure. It could be one of their houses, could be a third intermediate place.
All right, and if we take them both out at the same time, we're left with Ludmilla, which would mean that we would then get... So if we take them out both at the same time, would Ludmilla spare us and send us to the Ember Temple?
I'm not 100% sure on that. Ludmilla isn't very directly involved or concerned with what happens in the town.
Okay.
Iona nods, actually, and says, I know this, that Ludmilla, so long as her experiments and the cathedral remain untouched, she does not care of the affairs of town.
Hmm. In that case, we could always take out the burgomaster as much as we can. And then while we're being, I guess, sentenced by the sheriff to head up to the Amber Temple, while we're there, Piran, you do what you do best, and you take out the sheriff.
I can do that, Piran says. As if he could do it right now.
As if he's got the plan somewhere in his mind.
If we take out them both at the same time, I just feel that would be too much chaos too quickly.
Yeah, that's what I'd be worried about as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Seems like a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, who wants to go to the Amber Temple and who would like to stay here?
Piran puts a finger on her nose and says, not yet for the temple.
I'll come to the temple. You're already full of who knows what, and that's a very dangerous place for a man who's already made some questionable deals. I'll come with.
Esmeralda leans forward and says, I will go to the temple. Iona says, it is almost certain death to go to the Amber Temple, but 16, I hear, is a lucky number.
That would leave, I guess, Tarpos and the two dwarves. In town?
Yes, in town. They don't need the Amber Temple. For them.
Korob and Lashen might want to come to see then.
Oh, fuck.
I say as much as I did then.
I grab my snout and I start rubbing it. They are exceptionally powerful, though I think their titles are fake.
Piran leans back. He looks like he could cry. Not going to the temple, and they're your problem.
And if we need them to make a commotion, and
they're also terribly unhelpful in an assassination,
they are,
he says.
Not quiet. No, considerably.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I would have loved to have taken them.
I think we've got to take Gorob.
Oh, I adore you, Pip.
I'm not joining in on this.
Pip, you know me. I know. Every day I wake up.
I'm not part of this bit, Piran.
First thing I say, Gorob and Lushen, where's that screaming noise I love ever so much?
Very funny.
Very funny. Ha ha. With Gorob and Lushen, do we need to take, would they separate themselves from Tarpos? We could always ask Tarpos to meet us up there.
But it might also be worthwhile having somebody looking after the Vistani girl.
Of course.
So maybe we leave her behind.
Yes. Okay.
Where is she currently? She's
at the cabin.
Tarpos, Gorob and Lushen.
Who wants to go grab Gorob and Lushen? Not yet. Touch my nose.
Maybe we can get our own back against Piran here.
Who's here? Iona. Well, Iona just doesn't know the way. It's Esmeralda or Piran. Piran is just at the same time as you.
Yeah.
Esmeralda didn't realize what was happening until everyone's finger was in their nose. She looks around. Oh, crap.
Oh, such a shame.
She gets up and she stands up. Gets her crutch and then starts hobbling out the door.
That's so rude of us.
That is so very rude.
Oh, it's so rude. No one's saying anything, I noticed.
Oh, no. Whatever. It'll be fine.
She gets to be reunited with Gorob and Lushen. That's
yeah, exactly.
Nice.
They haven't spoken
they have so
in a long
catching
time.
Up to do.
Okay. Well, when they get back, are we doing the assault now?
I think you should sleep, I say.
I'm perfectly fine.
You've literally been up all night. Lie down for at least a couple of hours.
Okay, well then what is... Okay, fine.
Let's do it tomorrow. Going right now in after you've spent a day at the abattoir and a night, and I've run away from police all night. It's fine now.
What?
Piran probably chuckles at that. He thinks this is quite funny.
I got stopped by the guards again. They tried to hustle me, and then things went south, and then I was on a roof and in a chimney, and I pretended to be Father Gnomesmus, and now I'm here. But the point is... None of us are in the best condition. I also gesture to Iona, who is drunk.
Mm.
Let's take the day.
Good point. point. I need to lie down.
The Amber Temple's not going anywhere.
Kieran, if you could find as much information about Cavendish and the halfling. Yeah, that'd be ideal.
Sure thing, he says.
I'll lead Hector to, I guess, the halls.
Sure.
And help him into it.
Mathilde, similarly, she probably holds it open, then helps you, Pip, as you're climbing in.
I'm not climbing in the hall. I'm just helping Hector in.
Oh, okay.
I'll stay up. I'm okay. It's the morning.
You help Hector in, and then you stand up. Mathilde closes the thing. You turn around, and you see Iona still sitting at the table.
I'll sit at the table across from her.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Maybe I sit across from her. Mm-hmm. I'll let like 5 minutes go by, and then I'm like, I didn't know you and Eleniel were an item. I rather thought you and Keening had something.
Her eyes go a little wide.
I would like to again say how deeply sorry I am, genuinely.
What did you think that there was between me and Keening?
Well, from my perspective, Keening came to Kuchery and he returned.
Ah, she says.
You were just very familiar.
I want to be honest, I suppose. It's hard to describe what I am about to say as an olive branch.
Right.
But perhaps this can be the beginning of a painful but ultimately healing process. So there was not nothing between Keening and I.